Today's scripture reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, which says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life, in order that you may live, you and your descendants.
Good morning. I appreciate all of you allowing me to come here this morning and share my thoughts with you. I enjoy putting sermons together. I like creating a marker, a guidestone of where I am in my spiritual journey. I've looked back on some of the past sermons I've had the opportunity to give, and it's always interesting to see how my perspectives have changed over time. The core principles or the main ideas are still valid, but in every case, time and experience has changed the scope of how I apply these core principles to my life. Today, I would like to share an idea with you. Normally, as I prepare my message, I will go to the internet and see what the interwebs have to say on the subject. As it says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under heaven. I have never broken new ground. The ideas have always been considered by someone else before me. But sometimes, my perspective has been unique. Always, there is some controversy. But never before, have I ever run across biblical anthropologists. So, I'm not sure if I should take this as a sign that I'm in over my head or onto something that needs closer investigation. I invite you to take this idea and to chew it over and see what you think. So please, let's begin. My background and training are to be a problem solver. One of the most important steps in problem solving is to define the problem. A tool that I've found useful is based on the Venn diagram. You've all seen the Venn diagram. It's the picture with the two circles that overlap. The place where the circles overlap are the parts that the two things have in common, and the parts where the circles don't overlap represents the things that they don't have in common. For example, you could have one circle for bananas and one for lemons. The part of the circle for the lemon that does not overlap could represent sour. And the non-overlapping part of the banana circle could represent sweet. And the part that overlaps could represent that they're both fruits. I like Venn diagrams. They can help you see the interaction between multiple variables. The problem is they can get very complicated very quickly because there are so many things to be considered. Bananas and lemons are both yellow, but they don't have the same molecular structure, and on and on and on until you've included so many things you forgot what you were thinking about in the first place. The tool that I want us to consider now is a variation on the is or is not analysis. The way this tool works is you take something and you try to figure out what is the opposite of it. Let's look at an example of how this tool could work. If I say dark, the opposite would be light. Seems pretty simple, right? What about if I say Democrat? What is the opposite? If you've been watching the news recently, you'd probably say Republican. But what if I said the opposite of Democrat is an anarchist? An anarchist is somebody that doesn't even believe in government. All of a sudden, Democrats and Republicans seem pretty similar, pretty close. You can see how by defining these two different sets of opposites, you define two completely different ideas. Both sets are valid, and both sets are useful from a different perspective. This is the idea or concept that I want to share with you today. There are many opposites that are laid out in the Bible. One of the first ones is in Genesis. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So in the first verse, we have three of them already. Light and dark, day and night, morning and evening. There are a lot of others that are easy. Good and evil, life and death, lies and truth. We have all been taught these from the time that we were children. These are easily observable, objective fundamentals. They are laid out in the Bible. The way they are laid out in the Bible is also often as choices. Simple choices of right and wrong. So now that we understand the easy ones, let's jump out of the frying pan and into some harder ones. What about God? If you ask one of the little people, they would probably say Satan. I get it. I understand where they're coming from. And they're not wrong. It goes back to the good and evil we just talked about. One of our base principles that is our understanding of all things. What if I take a page from one of Roger's sermons and say, God is love. John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So what is the opposite of love? Is it hate? That sounds a lot like the Democrats and Republicans. Could be pretty close. You can love somebody and hate them. I think the opposite of love might be indifference or not caring. This comes back to my perspective. Your opposites may be different than mine, but they can be just as valid from your perspective. Do you see what we're doing? We're eating the elephant one bite at a time. Each opposite that we come up with for an idea helps to define where the edges of our circle on our Venn diagram are. With each new opposite, we're expanding the scope of our understanding of an idea. We're also defining the limits of our perspective of that idea. So here's what I want to share with you. Sorry. So here's where I want to share with you a few steps on the path of my spiritual journey. What started this all was a single comment on a radio show I heard this summer about what is the opposite of justice. Of course, my first response is injustice. Well, that was easy. It sounds good. But I haven't really defined anything yet. There's no depth to that answer. So what is justice? Justice is getting what you deserve. So the opposite of justice is getting what you don't deserve. That would be mercy. So justice and mercy are opposites. But that doesn't make sense. Because God is just and merciful, right? In order to have mercy, you have to set aside justice, right? Christianity is unique in that God's mercy is shown through his justice. There's no setting aside justice to make room for mercy. The Christian doctrine states that sin and injustice were punished at the cross, and it is only because the penalty of sin was satisfied through Christ's sacrifice that God extends his mercy to undeserving sinners who look to him for salvation. As Christ died for sinners, he also demonstrated God's righteousness. His death on the cross showcased God's justice. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 3. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness. In other words, all of the sin from Adam to the time of Christ was under the forbearance and mercy of God. God in his mercy chose not to punish sin, which would require an eternity in hell for all sinners, although he would have been perfectly just in doing so. Adam and Eve were not immediately destroyed when they ate of the forbidden fruit. Instead, God planned a Redeemer. In his love, God sent his own Son. Christ paid for every sin. Thus, God was just in punishing sin, and he also justifies sinners who receive Christ by faith. God's justice and his mercy were demonstrated by Christ's death on the cross. At the cross, God's justice was vetted out in full upon Christ, and God's mercy was extended in full to all who believe. So God's perfect mercy was exercised through his perfect justice. So justice and mercy are opposites that work together for God's purpose. Just like day and night, good and evil, bananas and lemons. It seems as though I have wandered over a lot of territory, so I'd like to gather it back up. I wanted to share with you today an idea on how to take a new look at ideas that we think we understand. A tool for possibly broadening our perspective on God's meaning and purpose for us. A concept I hope will add to your investigation of the Scriptures. The Bible is a simple study guide that allows us to grow as we study. We start with the idea of good and evil. As our perspective grows and we add to the circles in our Venn diagram, we can find deeper meaning in the Scriptures. My belief is that this will always be true. As I get smarter or grow spiritually, the Bible will always offer new challenges and new insight. This is because the Bible was written from God's perspective, and it will always be greater than mine. So I have to set my goal to seek God's perspective on all things. I have also set a goal to be mindful of others' perspectives, to be careful in discerning whether these perspectives are smaller or greater than mine. And this would conclude the sermon that I prepared. Now I'm going to start in on the sermon I didn't prepare. So you're going to have to allow me a little grace. My dear wife was telling one of my sons about my nature of when we argue, it's only because I know I'm right. If I know I'm right, I will dig my heels in and I will be relentless. If I'm not sure, I give up. I'm not going to argue about it. My wife, bless her heart, still argues with me. And that brings me to, a critical analysis of the sermon you just heard. It was a sermon on acceptance of lots of perspectives. Can be valid, can be reasonable, and while that is true, there are some that aren't. The first one that comes to my mind is I'll throw out a word, man. What's the opposite? Last time I checked, there were over 70 gender pronouns. So there are over 70 different perspectives on what could be the opposite of man. This might be one of the places I dig my heels in, of God created them, man and woman. My biology textbook, the combination of X and Y chromosomes. The natural observations, some of us are plumbed for the birth and nurturing of children, and some of us aren't. There are some fundamental truths that need to be filtered down to a single question. Some of the problems of gray areas are because you're asking multiple questions at once. Some of those questions may have a yes answer, some of them may have a no. Three yeses and a no is a shade of gray. As we discern, we need to make sure we break down these questions to the base question that has a single yes and no, that has a single opposite. That's hard to do. That would be what I would propose we use as we go through Scripture, as we go through what we see in the world. Can we break down these gray areas to single questions that are yes and no? And by going through those things with people, hopefully we can bring them to the Lord. If any of you need help coming to the Lord, please come forward so we stand and sing.